And today we're going to be talking about uncovering Superman, which I had to change over to the last part of my costume here. This could be dangerous because I don't know if I can read those words, but so anyway, I've been a Christian for most of my life. In fact, I can't really remember a time that I wasn't saved or born again. But you know what? Later in my life, I came to a point that I realized I was lost. I just was. Now, that might sound funny to you because I've always known Jesus, but I was lost to this. I had kind of fallen asleep in my life as a Christian, and I had no idea of my true identity, like who I was. Just what we were talking about to say. So we were singing today about the good Father. That's who he is. It's his character. It's his nature. It's who he is. But I was kind of lost because I didn't really know who I was. Now, the same might be said for you right now. You might think about that, not knowing. But that sleep keeps us asleep to our true identity and our true nature, and thus our experience with life. It doesn't line up for what's written about us in the Bible. Because why? Because we're lost. You know, becoming a Christian, it's supposed to awaken us, or I gotta switch. You get the point. But I was I was saved. I loved Jesus, but I was totally and particularly unaware of what was on the inside of me, what my true identity was, and what kind of power was really available to me and could flow out of my life. And so it was almost like when I heard things or saw things in the Bible that they didn't really match up with who I was. It was like I was living in a non-reality. Like those things I saw in the Bible were like a dream. And I'll explain this as we've gotten along. But it's almost like forgetting who we are in the story of our lives. Not knowing who we are, we've lost like the plot for our lives. And we're kind of wandering around and just technically we're lost. Think of yourself today as Superman or Superwoman. That's what we're kind of basing our stuff on. Think of this. If Superman were to forget he was Superman, who would he be? Clark Kent, thank you. I tried really hard. I'm like, I hope you can figure out who I am today. I am Mrs. Clark Kent, but I'm Clark Kent, okay? I don't normally wear a tie to church, so I don't have gender issues, but Clark Kent. But what do we know about Clark Kent? He's just the average guy, right? He works at the paper. He's the guy in the suit, and he can't fly, can he? No, Clark Kent can't fly. Only Superman can fly. And having forgotten, if he forgot that he was actually Superman, then Clark no longer knows he can fly. See, today I want to take you on a little bit of a journey to find out who you actually are in this life, an identity that you could experience right now, and I want you to wake up. So our thing is how can we get Clark Kent, that's you today, you're Clark Kent, how can we get you to fly again? All right, how can we determine that you can get to that place where you're flying again? Well, in order for that to happen, let's see, I'm going to use Todd because I know that Todd is a huge, like comic, Superman, Batman sort of person. So Todd, can you come up here for a minute? There's not anything bad's going to happen to you or anything like that, but I'm just going to use it for this example. So if I want to get Clark Kent to realize that he can fly, someone would need to tap me on the shoulder. Go ahead, tap me on the shoulder. You'd have to say, excuse me, but you're who, really? Who am I? Yeah, excuse you, but you're really Superman. Somebody have to come up and tap you in your life. Thank you. That's all I needed you for. You did awesome. Thank you. So somebody would have to come up and wake Clark Kent up to the fact that he was Superman, right? Now, how did he do that? How did he become Superman? Well, we all know, well, there's a whole backstory to this whole thing, you know, and we won't go into all that today. Rent the movie and watch it this afternoon. But anyway, how he usually did it was he did this. I'm hanging on to the door, Ralph. All right, so he would come out, he'd come out of his booth, and what did he have on? No, I'm not taking all my clothes off. Pastor Scott goes, are you taking your clothes off? What are you doing? No, because he would come out of the booth, he'd come out of the door, and who was he? He was Superman. That's right, he was Superman. And we have our Superman up here for all of you ladies that want to gaze on Superman today. Ladies, Henry Cavill. Yeah. You can take pictures with Henry later. But anyway, so Clark Kent, what my demonstration is here is that Clark Kent was clothed in another suit of clothing. But his true identity was something else that he wore. His true identity lied underneath him, and that was his other suit of clothing that he was wearing, and that was that he was Superman underneath of it. It's the same thing that you are. You are who you are. But underneath, inside of here, you're Superman. And we're going to talk about that today. So number one in your fill in the blank is, first of all, Clark Kent had to discover his true identity. It's the same thing with you, is you are who you are, but that's not who you are. You have to discover your true identity. Who are you? You are who he said in his word that you are. That's who you are. You're a new creature. The Bible says that, and we'll talk about that. But in 2 Corinthians, it says what? That you are a new creation in Christ. You are the light of the world with a staggering power, the power of Superman inside of you, so staggering that you could blind this entire world to that power that's living inside of you. Who are you? You are in Christ, the Bible said, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Let's look at a couple scriptures that just back up what I just told you about who you are. Matthew 5:14, let's say this one together. Ready? You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Right? That's one of the components to who you are. You are the light. Now, if you've watched any type of Superman, superhero, super anything movies, there's usually emulating from the super person like light coming out of them. Have you ever noticed that? Like sometimes when their powers become evident, like Superman, he had a power, like maybe where they get the X-ray eyes and there's light coming out their eyes or something. But usually when they're superhuman or they change and they morph or whatever they do, there's something like emulating out of them. And that's what the Bible is saying here. It's saying that on the inside of you, yes, you may be clothed in who you are, your Aaron. You're Aaron Porter. Aaron Porter. But Aaron isn't just Aaron. Aaron is, she is Superman, Superwoman on the inside of her. And she is this, what the Bible says. She is the light of this world. Why? Because who lives on the inside of her? Our superhero, Jesus Christ. Let's see what else the Bible says about you, about your true identity. Galatians 2:20, it says this, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But who lives in you? Christ lives in me. Say that with me today. Christ lives in me. Now put your hand over your stomach, over your heart, wherever you want to put it. Put it on you and say, Christ lives in me. Let's say it. Christ lives in me. Now, remember, it finishes out by saying, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But remember this, the Bible says about you then, that Christ that lives in you, that is the same power, the Bible says that same power, the power of Christ that lives in you, is the power that brought the dead body, spirit, soul of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, out of the grave and made him alive again. Now, that is a superhero, super strength power. But you know what? Most of us are blind and lost, and we do not walk in that identity, and we let the world walk all over us. Because why? because we don't know who we are. We don't realize that we are superhuman, that inside of us lives Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's look at Colossians 1:27 from the Good News Translation. It says, as God's plan is to make known his secret to his people. God's plan is to make known his secret to his people. What's the secret? This rich and glorious secret which he has for all people. Are there any exclusions? No, all people. And the secret is this. Here's the secret. You want to know the secret? Everybody wants to know a secret. Here's the secret. Christ is in you, which means that you share in what? The glory of God. All right. Take a moment. Pause. Grab your coffee. And think about that statement for a second. Jesus Christ lives in you, but that means also what? That you are going to be a partaker, or you're going to share in, you're going to have a piece of the glory of God. Now, who remembers about the glory of God? Who remembers about people that came in contact with the glory of God? Right? How about Moses? Remember, he went up on the mountain, he had the burning bush incident, you know, it was like blinding him. People that touched the Ark of the Covenant, you know, and they fell dead. Because why? Because they touched the presence, the glory of God. Remember in the Old Testament when the priests would go in and they'd have to do all these washings and cleansings and everything to go into the most holy of holies. And if they screwed up and did something wrong, they fell over dead. And the people knew that they fell over dead because when they go in, they had the skirt on, they had pomegranates and bells, and they'd hear dun, 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 thud. They had a rope on the end of their feet, and they'd pull them out and send another priest in. Next, call from the bullpen, you know, next priest, go in there, hope you get it right. But why was that happening? Because they were coming in contact with the glory of God, and they were sinful human beings and could not come into contact. But the Bible says that when you became a new creature in Christ, then Christ lives in you, and what do you get to share in? That glory is residing on the inside of you. Why in the world are we walking around like we have no superhuman powers? Why are we walking around lost or defeated or discouraged or thinking, oh, you know, the world's going to the hell in the handbasket and we can't do anything about it? We can. We have the superhero living on the inside of us. You are the ones. You are a Christian. And you know what? Sometimes when people read these scriptures, it almost sounds like an alien. What? Christ is living in me? What? I have a part of the glory of God? It sounds too strange to be true. But you know what? You can't deny anything that's come off my lips right now because why? It's all the Word of God. And the Word of God is true. It's our foundation. It's our bedrock. But I'm not done. I want to share something else before we go on to the next part. You are the one who can live in the resurrected identity which flows with more peace and more power than you can possibly ever dream is imaginable. But you don't really think it's possible, so you rarely align yourself with that. You rarely operate in it. And so very few people operate at that point in their Christian life. They live down here, defeated, discouraged, depressed, despondent, you know? And then the world looks at us and thinks, well, why do I want to go to church, invest all my time, invest all this on that, when you live like that? When people do not realize that inside of you lives the superhero with superhero powers, which we're going to talk about. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Don't be saying all the time, I'm so afraid, I'm so worried, I'm so struggling, I'm so this, I'm so that. The Bible says that he left you peace. It's available to you. It's that you just don't know it's there. Ephesians 1 says this, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is the same as his mighty strength. He gave us great power, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that God's Spirit lives within you? What he's telling you is, you wake up. God is living inside of you. Use those superhuman powers. You know, I was reading about Superman because I'm not a Superman person. But I was reading about it for my message, you know. And he has some really strange superpowers. Like crazy, weird, wacky stuff that he does, you know. And you're reading through him, you're like, that's kind of weird. But he has all these different superhuman powers that he does. In fact, there's one, I think it's called a super flare. I think if that's right, you can correct me later. But it's where he kind of becomes combustible. I thought this was so interesting. He becomes combustible, and he actually blows up, and he does his great strength feat, you know, defeats whoever he's defeating. And I don't know. All I know is Lex Luthor. That's all the name I know. I don't even know. I think he's Batman. I don't know. I don't know these things. But I just know he's good and they're bad and he defeats a bad. But when I was reading about the superhuman power, it says then after he's like combusted and like destroyed the enemy, then he has to become human again. And he has to like regenerate for like 24 hours in his humanness. I thought that was interesting because I thought, you know, it's so like us. If we operate in that power of God, we defeat the enemies, then after that we feel so like, oh my gosh, you know, we feel drained. Because why? Then we have to regenerate in the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made the what? Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what righteousness means? Righteousness means that Leah, she's my shadow today person following me around, helping me out, that she is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's her true identity. When she whips open her shirt, it says, Leah, she's righteous. But what that means is that she has right standing with the Father. There's so many Christians that I meet that have shame standing with the Father. They walk into the Father's presence like this. Because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of what they've done, what they've said, what they haven't done. They're ashamed because they haven't read their Bible or whatever other things, what they participate in, how they're living, that they're not living up to the standard that God has. They come with shame. But the Bible says that what? It's not who you are. It's whose you are. And it's not your own righteousness that you walk into the presence of God. Because why? You're going to fall over dead. But you walk in with this knowledge that in you resides the righteousness of Christ. And so the Bible says then because you have that righteousness, it says that you can boldly walk to the throne of God and present your petitions and ask. You know, it's the same thing as that I know I am my father's daughter. My father is Donald LaFavre. That's my dad. But because I know who I am, I can boldly march to my parents' house and say, Dad, I need help. Do you have a wrench? Do you have an oil can? Do you have a rope? You know, I was getting ready to do stuff for the wedding, and Allie Messina and I were packing up a truck, and there was inclement weather. That means we're going to have a monsoon. How many of you know we've been having lots of monsoon rains lately? So I have all kinds of stuff in the truck. And so in the voice in my head is saying, you need a tarp, you need a tarp, you need a tarp. What is that? It's my dad that resides on the inside of me. So I boldly called up my dad and I said, Dad, do you have a tarp? Sure. So I ran over to my dad's house. We tarped up the truck and it was a monsoon. You know, but the tarp protected the stuff that was underneath. I could just boldly go over there and say, hand a tarp. Why? Because I know who I am. I know who he is. He's my father. He's a good father. And it's the same with Jesus Christ. Is I don't have to like God, you know, I'm sorry, you know. I can just boldly go in there because what? I am not walking in my own righteousness, but his righteousness. Your true identity. Next point on your bulletin. Awaken, believe, and align yourself with that identity. Awaken, believe, and align yourself with your true identity. See, in order for Clark Kent to be able to believe that he could fly, He has to awaken, believe, and align himself to the fact that he's Superman. It has to become a reality to him. Aligning himself would be like he would rush in the old days into the phone booth, you know, and he would come out as Superman. He would have to let go of his old nature, his old suit of who he was, and he'd have to put on that new and align himself, letting go of his old costume so he could fly once more as Superman. In the same way, just what we talked about earlier, that you are new creatures in Christ, Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this. He said, you are risen with Christ. You are clothed in Christ. And you have great power in Christ. None greater than the power to hold no record of wrong, which is true love. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians 3 says this. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have what? Clothed yourself in Christ. All right, Miss Bethany, can you come up here? All right, Miss Bethany's going to come up here. Miss Bethany is a hairdresser. You're like, oh, God, I'm not even dressed up today. Your hair looks fine. But Miss Bethany, can you tell me, like, when I come in, like, get my hair, and then you flip me around in the chair and you have me look, does anything change about me when I get to see that new look? I get a big smile on my face. That's right. Maybe my countenance, maybe I sit up straighter. Maybe I radiate a little bit of, wow, I look fabulous. Thank you.
You're welcome.
When you put on some new clothes, or you put on something that you love to rock, or you feel sexy in, or you feel masculine in, or you feel buff, or you, like, that jacket cuts you at the right place and hides all the stuff that needs to hide, you know? Yeah. Then you're like, yeah. You walk a little bit taller. You have a little bit smile on your face. Why? Because your clothes can change your attitude, you know? You know, when I rock my high heels and my things like this, I feel like, yes, I'm taller. I can walk up to Erin and look her in the face, you know? Yeah, there's a different countenance about me. Or if I rock my Keds in a t-shirt, I feel like, hey, I'm being hip. I'm being cool. Or I think I am. But I walk with a different attitude. And that's what the Bible's saying is, hey, if you've been baptized in Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, you have now clothed yourself with Christ. You're draped, you're drenched, you're soaked in Christ. That reminds me of the wedding, too, because it rained. And we were soaked. We ran in, we ran out, we ran in, we ran out. And we were soaked. We were drenched. And when you're drenched, there's really nothing you can do because you're just drenched. You're just saturated. And people look at you and they go, hey, you're wet. That's right. But if you're saturated, if you're clothed, if you're permeated with Christ, people should look at you and say, hey, you're like Christ. You're clothed in that. When you're clothed in his righteousness, when you're clothed in his glory, when you're clothed in that anointing, you act differently, you walk differently, you talk differently, you carry yourself differently, you think before you speak. Because what? Because you are his and he is yours. We said this before the scripture, but let's just repeat it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and all is made new. Aren't you fall on your face, slap happy glad, jump up and down, pee your pants, ecstatic today that you know that the old person is dead and that you are new and that your ticket is punched and you're going to go to heaven, not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. And so therefore, you don't have to look at yourself through a lens of shame or guilt or inferiority or anything else, because the Bible says that you have been made new. And when people try to remind you, say, you know what? I know you knew that old person, but that old person is dead. And I am new, brand new from the inside out. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4. It says this, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Say that word with me. Holy. Say that. Say, I am holy. Now, sometimes when people say that, you think, oh, they're arrogant or they're this or that. You are identifying yourself as to what the Bible says you are. Hello, have a revelation of your true identity. You are holy. And what? Without blame before him in love. You know, the Bible says this, that his love, that love in general covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that true? With your kids, I see that demonstrated so many times. You know, your kids screw up, mess up, or whatever, but that love that you offer them. I remember, I'll never forget this, Grace said this to me. You know, Grace got pregnant, and so that was a kind of like a shameful, terrible situation at first. But we determined this, that we were going to love her extravagantly, and I can say that the people of Abiding Word loved and embraced her. And she came back later, and she said, Mom, the only reason that I came back to God, to church, to family, to anything, was because of the love that I experienced, the unconditional love. The Bible says that you are holy and without blame. Why? Before him what? In that love. You are wrapped. The Bible says that you are wrapped in his arms of love. So drop the shame, the guilt, the blame, all that stuff, and recognize your identity. You are holy without blame. Because you're never going to screw up? No, I didn't say that. Because what? Because his love covers you. And the Bible says that, hey, if you do mess up, if you do screw up, the Bible says get on your knees and fall before him and say, God, forgive me and cleanse me from my unrighteous act. And just restore me, Father God. And the Bible says that he will wipe it all away and set you back on your feet. That's who you are. That's your identity. John 20:31 says, but these are written, this what? The scripture, the word, is written so that you may believe that Jesus is a son, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have what? Life in his name. Amen. It's no longer I that lives, the Bible said, but Christ lives in me. Can you imagine if you started seeing yourself like this? And if you started seeing other people like this, you would trade grievance for beauty, a trance of your unworthiness for wonder, and you would wield breathtaking power in this life or the enemy over circumstances in order so you could live abundantly. But you know why you don't? Because you don't see yourself that way. You still think you're Clark Kent when you are Superman. Because why? That's your real identity. We don't know ourselves this way. And we've stopped believing it. We've like translated back to that old version of us. We've chosen to believe the enemy's lies of distortion. And when Clark Kent went into the phone booth, we have to remember that he came out a changed person. He was awakened. He believed it. He aligned himself with it. And therefore what? He could fly. What if Jesus was right about who we are in this life? Last, we're going to wrap it up. Unearth staggering power. That's your last fill in the blank. You only did three because that works for me. Three. Unearth staggering power. What if, like Paul said, speaking of our jar of clay self, what we see with our eyes here in the world right now is temporary and impermanent and therefore not eternally true, in contrast to our true nature in Christ, brimming over with staggering power. All right, so here's some of Superman's, and you guys can help me too. He eventually discovered and uncovered, and he used X-ray vision, telekinesis, freezing breath, super speed, flight, telepathy, heat vision, super strength, virtue. All right, tell me another one of Superman's powers. What? Bulletproof? Okay, bulletproof. That reminds me of a song. What? He could fly. Yeah, he could fly. That was pretty awesome. Anything else? Can you think of? All right. Yeah. He could pay taxes? Yeah, when he was Clark Kent. He had to pay taxes when he was Clark Kent. So, considering the core teaching of Jesus, it was he who said all those who know themselves in him, Jesus said this, would be known by their radical ability to return love for hatred. There's an amazing superpower that you have, the ability to love when people are hating you. To regard others without holding any record of wrong. This, he said, would be the evidence by which people know who we are, our identity. Did you realize that your superhuman, staggering power is this? And we're going to bullet through these real quick. Mark 16:18 says, you have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In Matthew 17:20, it says, you can speak to the mountains in your life and see them removed. John 14:14 says, whatever you ask in Jesus' name can be done for you. Those are all listed there in your notes. Now, I want to add a little bit of precursor. Just because we have this great identity and we know who we are, we can live abundantly, doesn't mean that never in our life bad things are going to happen. No, it doesn't mean that. That's not what you sign up for as a Christian. Because the Bible says, too, is that the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's come to give you life and life more abundantly. It also says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he doesn't play fair. Never. And he never hits you with one thing. It's always more than one thing that he hits you with. Because if he hits you with one thing in your life, you can deal with it. But when he overwhelms you, that's when you start getting depressed and defeated and discouraged and everything else. But what I want to focus on today is I know that terrible, tragic things happen. They've happened in my life. You know, I lost my first child when I was pregnant. I lost my first child. And I always say that's my 6'5" big boy, Graham Robert, that one day I'll go to heaven and he'll say, Mama! That's my boy. So it's not saying that you're not going to have difficulties or hard times or tragedy in your life, but I am saying at this, don't live less than what God's provided you for. You can overcome those things. There is staggering power available to you as a Christian. What if you could awaken and align yourself to that, who he says right now who you are? Wouldn't you be on a stunning journey with him? It begins with the realization that you're lost to your risen self, that you've fallen asleep, and that you need to awaken yourself to the truth, and there you need to dare to believe it. You know, when Superman, he's going to go to fly, he doesn't sit there and think, I wonder if I could do this today. I wonder if it's going to happen. No, he just takes off and he flies. Why? Because he knows what? I'm Superman. I have the ability. I can fly. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to ask, hey, Ralph, could I fly today? You know, Ralph says, I can make it happen. No, he just does it. Why? Because he knows who he is. Who are you? You can do whatever God's called you to do in the Word because of who you are in Christ, realizing that identity. And maybe you, like me, have struggled to know the power of that resurrection at times in your life. Maybe we've forgotten at different times, like Clark Kent, and no longer fly as that person. But this is the journey. It's time to awaken. I love that song. I think it's Hillsong. My heart's awakening. Look up that song. It's Awakening by Hillsong. It's a great song. It talks about awakening to God in your life. Colossians says this, and let's finish up with this. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, so what? Walk in him. Walk ye in him. All right, so let's do this real quick. Because I like to put into action what we just heard, some of the things we've heard. So who today, raise your hand bold and don't be afraid to raise your hand. Who of you today have received Christ as our Savior and Lord? That means that you believe it in your heart. You've made that confession of faith, either at your home or in church or somewhere else, but you know that you know that you know that when you die, then you open your eyes, you're with Jesus, not because of what you've done, because of who who lives inside of you. If that's you, raise your hand. All right. Awesome. All right, so it said that if you are in Christ, what did it command us to do? Walk in him. What does walk in him mean? That means get off your blessed assurance and wake up to the thing that you are superhuman. You're not just living in this world as a human. You are superhuman. You are have within you the superhero, the life of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, his glory. You are a partaker of his glory resides within you, that you can see people that are sick and lay hands on them and see them healed. Because why? Because you're a great evangelist, minister? No, because of who, that power that lives on the inside of you. That you can speak to mountains in your life, mountains of grief, mountains of lack, mountains of failure, whatever challenges, children that aren't walking in the ways of God, those mountains. You know, when Grace got pregnant and she left, I spoke to that mountain of her rebellion for 8 years with Pastor Scott and I. You know, speaking the word for 8 years, speaking to that, knowing, saying, Lord, I put the word in her. And you said that your word never returns void. You said that if I trained my child in the ways of God, that I gave them opportunity to hear your word, that they would never depart from that, and they would serve you all the days of their life. Well, I'm reminding you, God, I boldly walked to the throne. I'm reminding you that I did that. I wasn't lack. I did that part. So I'm expecting you to do your part. I don't care how long it takes, how hard it is, I expect that. So when I pick up my phone on Sunday morning, I say, ding, Grace and Tyler checked into Rockford First Assembly. Yes. Take that, devil. But it was 8 years of displaying my superhuman power. Times when I cried and my human power was hid, and times when I was bold. But the thing is that using the power that's available to you and that lives on the inside of you. Say this with me today. Say, I am holy. Stand up. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of his glory. I am and have the ability to do anything because I have within me his strength, his power, his ability. The Bible says, I have the mind of Christ. I can make wise decisions because the Bible says, if I ask for his wisdom, he will give it to me. I am full of peace. He left it for me. I have the name of Christ and the enemy, the devil, Satan himself, will bow to that name. I have the ability for supernatural love, even in a hateful world. I thank you that I have the joy of the Lord, which gives me strength. I thank you that I am clothed in humility. I walk in your perfection. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am the resurrected living in this world. I am a new creation. Old things are gone. I am not full of shame, full of guilt, full of regret. I am filled with the joy of the Lord. Amen. That's who you are. And every day you should be getting up and speaking that to yourself. Every day. Every day. Because every day when you walk out into that world, they want to suit you back up in your Clark Kent clothes. Amen. But you know what? Every day you got to rip those things off and say, this is who I am. The Bible says, let it be so, let it be shaken, let it be said out of your mouth, make a declaration. Get up off your feet and make a declaration. Be the army of God. These are the last days. They are perilous. They will slay the people of height that think they know everything. The Bible says don't be unaware that even the elect can be deceived. Amen? That's why, even more, the Bible says, as we see the day approaching, we should gather together. For what? To encourage one another, to remind us and say, Bethany, you're a child of God. Don't participate in that. You, Dolores, are a child of God. You have the peace of God. God left it for you. The Bible says that you can overcome the evil that's being presented to you in your life. But that requires you every day to getting up and declaring, I am clothed in his righteousness. I have on the armor of God. My feet walk in your peace today, Father. I have the shield of faith to be able to stand against the wicked darts of the enemy, because he's going to throw them at you so that you will buckle, give up, and say, this is trash, I'm leaving. He will try everything to defeat you. And you know where he's going to try? Right in your home. Because those hurt the worst. When your kids stand and say, I hate you, those hurt the worst. But the Bible says, declare who you are. Stand together. Encourage one another. You know, we talked about that, about being there for one another, encouraging one another. You know, we're not playing a game. This is it. This is the grandstand. Can you not feel the groaning of the earth? Can you not tell that things are worsening on a daily basis? Amen? This is the time to get up and realize this lives on the inside of you. This is who I am. This is what I have, and demonstrate that to the world. Amen? Go ahead and be seated. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for encouraging us in your word. We thank you that your word is mighty. It is true. It is holy. We thank you that your word never fails, never fades, never gives up, Father God. We thank you your word is our promise. It is our hope that we hold on to, and we stand cemented in your word of who we are. We will no longer walk defeated.